Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you've had a great week. I've had a great week. I love being here with you. I love this time together. I always like when we can dig into God's Word, when we can grapple with some ideas that might be difficult, you know, as iron sharpens iron, all that. It's really nice to have guests like Dr. Alex McFarland, who makes himself available every other week on the show, and I get a perspective from him that is so fresh and it's so passionate that it's just so nice to have him as a regular guest. And he's going to be joining me in just a minute or two. Unbeknownst to him, I do want to talk about the fear of the Lord with him. We got started yesterday talking to John and Pam Bloom, and that triggered a whole bunch of thoughts, which I was thinking about last night as I was going to bed, and thought about this morning when I got up, and then I brought it up at my Bible study this morning and started off a little bit of a firestorm. So it's going to be good. I think Alex will be able to weigh in quite easily on that. And as I think of some of the verses, especially out of Psalm 103, there's three in a row. Is it three? Yeah, three in a row, where it says in verse 11, "So great is his love for those who fear him." And verse 13, "So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." And in verse 17, it says, "The Lord's love is with those who fear him." So let's talk about that. Let's bring Alex onto the show. I'll take a little break. It's 6 minutes after the hour. We'll be back in just a minute with Dr. Alex McFarland.
You remember the Steve Green song, "May all who come behind us find us faithful"? Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I was reminded of that as we celebrate our 70th anniversary and think back to the visionary, committed, and humble leadership we've had over the seven decades. And now, that legacy is ours to preserve and advance. We couldn't have done it then, and we can't do it today without your prayer and financial support. So thank you for faithfully standing with us and investing in this ministry. You can make a gift today at myfaithradio.com.
How do we stay rooted and build up in Christ, as Colossians 2 encourages? Faith Radio has a resource that can help you strengthen your faith, trust in God's promises, and rest in His presence. It's the Faith Radio Prayer Devotional email that will come to your inbox each Monday to encourage you with a quote to reflect on and a prayer to begin the week. Sign up for the Prayer Devotional email today at myfaithradio.com/prayer.
Welcome back to the show. It is 7 minutes after the hour. Dr. Alex McFarland is a religion and culture expert, national talk show host, speaker, and author of 20 books, and he's just my favorite guest. Alex, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Bill, and thank you for that surf music on this cold winter day.
Indeed, it's good. Say, yesterday I had some guests in the show, and we were talking about the fear of the Lord, and I bet on your circuit you get that question from time to time. I was looking at Proverbs, I think it's 1:7, that says,
Verse 7.
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then I was also looking at Psalm 103. I was just telling our listeners in advance before I brought you on, so great is his love for those who fear him. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, and the Lord's love is with those who fear him. So as we talk about that, do you ever get questioned about the fear of the Lord?
Yeah, you know, I've had that question, in fact, a number of times when I've been in front of college students. They would say, you know, what kind of God is it that wants us to fear him? That's not love, to be afraid. But, you know, I think we've probably heard, a lot of people have heard it preached on how it's the reverence of God. Romans 3:18 talks about a time when lawless people have, quote, no fear of God before their eyes. And I think about this, not a perfect analogy, but like electricity. I've done my share of construction work, and I appreciate electricity, and I benefit from electricity, but I've got a healthy respect of it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if you trifle with electricity and handle it recklessly, you get fried like a French fry. So, electricity will serve you, electricity will help you, but you had better respect it and fear it. And God, of course, you know, his love for us is immeasurable. And if you have a relationship with the Lord and you know Jesus Christ, you know it is a very precious and tender love. But the wisest thing you can do, to your point about Proverbs 1:7, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. We had better remember that he is the Almighty and he loves us. But he is righteous and holy. He's absolutely in control. And so reverence of God and actually fear and respect of God is the only sane perspective that a human should have because, you know, ultimately we are accountable to God.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I meet some young people, Bill, and they're like, I've had plenty of people say, I've had atheists say, you know, well, if I die and it turns out there's a God, I'm going to say, God, you better answer up. You better tell me this or that. It's not going to be that way. Nobody's going to get up in God's face and give him a dressing down.
Right.
God is the sovereign of the universe. And we love him. We trust him. We praise him. But, yeah, we should fear God. I mean, I think that's the only intelligent thing to do in the face of the one who truly is the Almighty.
Yeah. Alex, I was thinking about a person that might come to faith in Christ, maybe grew up in a big family, and you talk about heaven and hell, and if you're uncomfortable with the idea of hell, could it possibly be that I've got a whole bunch of family members that would face eternal damnation if I truly believed that the gospel is the only way, and the only way they can get to heaven is if they understand exactly what it is that I believe?
Yeah, I think that's wise. You know, I think there are a lot of people that probably try to push the eternal issues out of their mind because they probably know somebody who is not a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to that I would say, for one thing, we don't know another person's heart. I mean, we really, Jeremiah 17 talks about the darkness of the human heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't really know anybody else's state before God, although we might have a pretty good idea. But the other thing I would say, Bill, is this. Even if everybody you loved was not a believer, you still should have the desire to know Christ and to be saved. Because look, I mean, it doesn't help anything if you reject Jesus because
right.
you think somebody close to you has rejected Jesus. I mean, for you to go to hell too is not going to put anybody else in heaven.
Right.
It's certainly, I mean, that's the ultimate form of cutting off one's nose to spite one's face.
Yeah,
C.S. Lewis said this, Bill.
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis said, we all live our life alone before God. Now, there are people around us that we care about and love and interact with, but really, I would say this to everybody listening, your eternity stands in this way. What will you do with the Savior? It's not about what anybody else does. It's about what have you done with Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alex, there's so many people that they come to faith in Christ and they start desperately grieving the knowledge that their family is not saved, and yet somehow they just want to keep pulling for them and trying to give them credit somehow.
Well, let me say
that. Pretty natural.
And I'm glad you bring this up. Yeah, it is natural because we're compassionate. And I would say this. Let's say we love somebody and they're not a believer, but God loves them infinitely more than we do even. And it's fine to love our family members, and we should, and we should care about their soul. But the comforting thing is God loves them even more than we do. And he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. I do think the burden that we have for the unsaved is a good opportunity for growth, because we can pray, we can fast, we can intercede, we can learn how to do evangelism. I will tell you, and I give God the glory, that as a 21-year-old introvert, Bill, when I became a believer 30 years ago, I was very burdened for a lot of my friends that were unsaved. And so reading Bill Bright's book, Witnessing Without Fear, reading Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World by Rebecca Manley Pippert, and reading books like Tell It Off and Tell It Well by McCloskey. Do you remember any of these books?
And Becky Pippert book. Yeah.
Yeah, Steps to Peace with God by Billy Graham. Trying to read, trying to get equipped, trying to win my friends to Christ prepped me for what would become my life's work. And so I really thank God for the burden that enabled me to try to see a bunch of my friends get saved, which we did, because it grew me. So really that evangelistic burden can become an opportunity for growth and for really becoming a disciple, because part of being a disciple is to be a witness, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, it is. Alex, did you shed your introvert? Or you're not an introvert anymore, are you?
Well, I don't know. I don't have time to be, I suppose.
Good answer. Yeah.
It's weird. I've probably told you this story. I graduated high school by going to summer school. I went to summer school because in my English class, I was in this like GT English class. And part of the grade, they were doing three grades. There was a midterm and a final. And then this project, you had to give a speech. And my teacher, Marcy Catterman, Southeast Guilford High School, she pled with me. She said, everybody else has given their speech. Why won't you get up and give your speech? I said, I can't. I don't want to get up in front of the class. Everybody would be looking at me. If I had known, Bill, that someday my entire career would be 3 to 5 nights a week for 2 decades to get up in front of total strangers, I never would have believed it. Mm-hmm. I'm living proof that Jesus can change your life, because, I couldn't even give a speech in my high school English class. But when you find Jesus, you know, Jeremiah 20, verse 9, his word is in my heart like a burning fire. The gospel of Jesus and the passion to make him known, that will cure you of your shyness.
All right. Alex, great reminder. I appreciate telling us that little tidbit about Alex McFarland. Take a little break at 17 after the hour. When we come back, I want to ask Alex, are we born knowing right from wrong? That's what we're going to tackle when we return. Welcome back to the show. I have as my guest Dr. Alex McFarland. He is a speaker and a talk show host and an author of over 20 books. He's a former introvert and flat-picking guitarist. Alex, I was thinking about this idea, and maybe you can shed light on it, are we born knowing right from wrong, or is it part of our DNA, or how does that work?
Moral awareness, let's call it that, knowledge of right and wrong, is something that kind of develops. And there's this phrase that's not found in the Bible, but I think the concept is definitely there, called the age of accountability. You remember in Isaiah chapter 7, it was talking about Jesus, who was, you know, God incarnate. But it says in Isaiah 7:16, before he knows to refuse the evil and choose the good, he will grow up and the favor of God will be upon him. And so, I think this is one of the great arguments for the existence of God, Bill, is the fact that humans are inherently moral. You know, we have this moral conscience. C.S. Lewis, in his famous book, The Abolition of Man, and other sociologists have written similar things, humans have this moral conscience. And all cultures have this, you know, code of right and wrong. You know, you don't lie. Lying is wrong. Murder is wrong. Stealing is wrong. Bearing false witness is wrong. And so, I think we are born knowing right from wrong. Now, it takes a while for that to come out. Now, there are people in a fallen, sinful world, in a world of birth defects, in a world of abuse. There are things that obscure that knowledge of right and wrong, or there are people that have the unwillingness or inability to know right from wrong, and we call those people sociopaths, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
But, we have a knowledge of right and wrong, and they are, it's written on our psyche and our soul.
Mm-hmm. Alex, why do you think, tell us why you believe that the American culture right now is just leaving behind this natural moral law at such a rapid pace?
Great question. You know what, all week I've been working on a book that'll be out in July on natural law. And Bill, I call it the thing that nobody's really talking about. We are abandoning belief in moral truth because the recognition of moral boundaries conflicts with actions that are now politically protected. And it's interesting. Listen to this. Okay, I spent like 7 hours Wednesday working on this book, and I read a lot of philosophy. Now, folks, if you're not familiar with natural law, it's the belief that there are these eternal, transcendent, universal boundaries of right and wrong that everybody really knows. Now, here's the deal. From the ancient Greeks up through Augustine, even refined and reiterated by Thomas Aquinas, to the founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, to up through Queen Elizabeth and Ronald Reagan. Great thinkers of history from the 3rd century BC to the present day, people have talked about morals. You know, there are some things that are absolutely right. There's some things that are absolutely wrong. Now, listen to this. Part of natural law was the Aristotle's way of saying that things that are natural are things that work with the design of the human body and life itself. Things that are unnatural, like, and I'm just going to say it, like sodomy,
mm-hmm.
murder, things that clearly are not what the body was designed for, those things are wrong. And so one of the ways that people tried to determine right and wrong was if it's appropriate to the design of the human body, the healthy mind and body and culture, you know, being nice to people seems to work. Being cruel to people seems to not work. So I'm reading a philosophy and ethics book by a popular British thinker named Mel Thompson, and this is where lots of people are. And he basically says this, and I'll be brief, but follow me, folks. He says, look, for 2,000 years of human history, we have followed moral truth or natural law, and it's given us literacy, hospitals, technology, and the U.S. Constitution. Moral foundation, natural law has worked pretty well. But we live in the age of people demanding no boundaries. They want to be homosexual. They want to be transgender. They'll sue you if you call them a male or a female and they think they're a Furby or an emoji or an avatar, you know. And so what do we do in an age when there are still unbreakable moral boundaries, but people don't want to act morally? Mel Thompson and others say, well, human relationships are complex, and we all have to define truth for ourselves. And I'm reading more and more thinkers say this, and I groan, because that's the book of Judges, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. And I will say this, and I don't mean to be doom and gloom, but if we don't have the moral courage, and it's got to begin in the pulpits of this nation, but if we don't have the moral courage to proclaim what God has determined right and condemn what God warns us is wrong, we're going to head to anarchy.
So well said, Alex, and you've just given me so much to just think about again. So thank you for that deep response. It's, again, just classic Alex McFarland. We just got a couple of minutes left. Would you share your story about Russ from when you worked in a bookstore in college?
Oh, man, thanks. Yeah, you know, I was going to Liberty University, and right across from Liberty University was a bookstore, a Christian bookstore. And, you know, a lot of people would come in, and working in a Christian bookstore gave a lot of opportunities for ministry. And my wife was a nurse. She was a recently minted nurse, had passed the state board. She was helping put me through school. And one of the people who came to the bookstore over and over was a guy named Russ. I'll never forget. And I could tell he had a lot of, you know, issues. And so we began to share the gospel. We had him to our apartment for meals because we lived about a mile away. And he accepted Christ. And we led him in the sinner's prayer. He prayed to accept Christ. And then he was, you know, kind of effeminate anyway, but this was 20 years ago, and I really had not met anybody that I thought was struggling with gender confusion. But he comes in the store, and he tells us that he's gay and that he's in a relationship with a man now, and he didn't believe in Jesus anymore. And notice this, folks. We can't forever live in a state of cognitive dissonance. I mean, we can't have two things in our life at the same time that are absolutely incongruous. And I've ministered with a lot of people that are caught up in sexual sin, and they'll either give their life to Jesus, or they'll abandon Jesus, or they'll repent of sin, or they'll throw themselves into sin. But what the human psyche really can't do, and it's a good thing we can't, is live a double life forever.
Yeah.
I mean, something's, and that's why I often say, your beliefs will shape your behavior, or your behavior will shape your beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Russ comes in one day, he tells us that he's now Courtney and he's a woman, and he's trying to get government money for a gender reassignment surgery. We ministered, we got him counseling, we did so many things, but he moved in with a house of gay men, and ultimately, it was so sad. I mean, it was bizarre. Lynchburg, Virginia, I'm going to say this was about 1994, he was found, it was horrid. He froze to death, he was stark naked in a thicket of briars.
Oh,
like
Alex.
He had been out.
I hate to.
Nobody ever knew what happened to him.
Oh, it's just heartbreaking. I hate to break this right now, but we're just flat out of time. I will so look forward to our next discussion. Dr. Alex McFarland. Go to alexmcfarland.com to learn more about Alex, and we'll maybe get a chance to pick up the story again. Be back in a minute.
Radio is a media ministry of University of Northwestern St. Paul. Our mission is to lead people to Christ and to nurture believers in their faith through Christ-centered media. Tune in to Faith Radio to hear relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching, as well as interactive live talk programming. We love to hear from you, our listeners. Call into a live show or share how Faith Radio has impacted your life by calling the Faith Line at 877-93-FAITH.
Welcome back to the show. I sure appreciated Dr. Alex McFarland. His story at the end, I have to admit, caught us a little off guard. It was pretty strong, pretty graphic, and pretty difficult. And Alex has got a program right before he comes on with me, so he probably just went 90 minutes straight. I got off the phone and called him right back, hoping I could get him back on just to put maybe a little bit of a conclusion to that story. That was a tough one, but it was... Always nice to hear from Alex. And if I could have gotten him back on, I would have given him a couple more minutes just to tie things up. But next time he's on, maybe we'll revisit that story and expand on it a little bit. Just God bless him and his ministry and how he reaches out to the lost. And we'll take a short break and be right back.
Hi, I'm Ted Ross with the Faith in Life Minute. Many moms today are dealing with incredible pressure. Here's some encouragement from author and speaker Sherry Surrett.
Don't do mom alone. Whether you are a stay-at-home mom or whether you're a mom who does work outside the home as well, your job as a mom is incredibly important, and you need to connect with other moms, with other reasonable voices who understand you and who can kind of help you come back down to reality about really what does it mean to be a good mom. There is no perfect to achieve. There is no such thing as the perfect mom. You need to be who God called you to be, and you need to be you as a mom, and you need to take time to realize, who am I and what is it that I do best? And you lean into that. And you really do need to get your eyes off of other moms and stop the comparing.
More from Sherry Surratt can be heard at myfaithradio.com.
All I want to do is praise your name, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. You are my God, and all I want to do is praise your name. I praise your name and lift our voices and proclaim.
Welcome back to the show. I have on our line Pastor Stephen Wilson. He is the pastor of the brand new church they've got at Gateway Church, and he's very excited to talk about it, and I'm excited to hear all about it. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill. It's glad to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. Now, when you talk about being pastor of this new church plant, tell our listeners all about it.
Yes, it's a very unique church plant. And what we've done is we are actually planting gateway churches inside prisons here inside Texas. So it's totally outside the box of what you'd normally think of, but we are trying to recreate the exact guest experience that our members have on the outside. We're creating that inside for the offenders, or we like to call them residents.
Exactly. Yeah. So when did the church, when did this one in Cofield, Texas, get open and started?
We actually launched that back in November, right before the holidays. We launched it back then, and so we've been going about 2 months. And Pastor Robert just announced it to our congregation in January. And just the excitement and electricity around here for prison ministry is just amazing to watch it in all of our campuses.
Yeah. Well, I share your enthusiasm. I have been personally in 80 prisons across the country doing prison ministry, so I could not be any more excited about what you're doing.
Well, great. Thanks, Bill. That's awesome that you've been volunteering and doing that in other prisons. We have never had a prison ministry here at Gateway, so this is a first-time thing for us. We have done outreach inside prisons for years, but this is the first time we've brought an internal and created a department that's just focused on nothing but prison ministry. And a lot of doors are opening up here in the state and around the country just about prison ministry, and that's always been my heart. It's just how we can get the local church involved in their local prison.
Yeah. So, Stephen, let's talk about the setup for the church. Now, I assume this is taking place in the chapel areas inside the churches, inside the prisons?
Yes, sir, it is. Cofield is actually the largest prison in Texas. There's over 4,000 men there, actually nearly 4,200. So it's a very large prison, and they have a beautiful old wooden chapel there in the prison. It seats a little over 400 men, and so we go in there on a Wednesday night and set up church and just praise God. It's amazing.
Now, talk about the way in which you can attract inmates to want to come to the church, because I know the body of Christ inside prisons are phenomenal, and I've said to inmates in many, many of the prisons I've been into, you will never enjoy a rich worship experience like this outside. You just won't, because the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is so on fire that this is such a unique experience. So enjoy this, live it up, because you don't quite experience this outside.
You don't. It's just a new level of worship inside there. The way those guys just raise their hands and just shout out to God and cry out to Him, it's just amazing just to sit back and just watch them worship.
And I agree. Now, yeah. So when it comes to trying to get new inmates to come mm-hmm. and participate, I just know the politics of prison, and I know that there's a lot of very negative connotations to going to chapel, that you are going to be earmarked as a chapel person, and there's also lots of other negative things associated with that. So how do you get the seekers or tire kickers to come in, because it comes at a high cost?
Yeah, and actually, Bill, here in Texas, it's a little different. Offenders are more accepting of it here in Texas. We are actually, right now, our recidivism right here in Texas is at 21%. And so we're much lower than the national average. And people around here say that's because of our faith-based programming that is happening inside Texas prisons. So there's not necessarily always that stigma to it. But what we are doing is we are creating outreach events inside prison for those offenders. Our pastor, Pastor Robert Morris, his life message is the blessed life. And we just finished a series called Beyond Blessed. And what we're doing is we're trying to incorporate that inside the prison. So we're doing something as simple in Texas prisons as an ink pen. So, Bill, what we're doing is we're coming in, and here in a couple of weeks we're going to do a big outreach event inside the prisons, because ink pens are commodities inside a prison. So we are going to give every resident that comes to the service a pen just to bless them with that. But then on their way out of the service, we're going to give them an extra pen and say, we want you to use this pen to go back to your living area and invite somebody else to come to church with you next week.
Mm-hmm.
Use this as that outreach tool to say, hey, we love you, Gateway Church loves you, and we want you to come be a part of this. And we're hoping then that'll get some of those tire kickers like you were talking about to come down to the chapel and check out our service and really get involved and plugged in with what we're doing.
Right. Now, I know that in a traditional church, you've got so many opportunities for ministry, and there, when you're talking to people who are living in government housing, you've got people across all walks of faith and all different places in their journey. So you need to have straight evangelism, then you need to have discipleship, and then you need to have deeper life classes. So how are you pulling all this off?
We love discipleship here at Gateway Church. That's
good.
What we're really founded
good.
On. Is, yes, that is our main focus. And we have actually been doing some discipleship classes inside this prison in the last few years before we launched the campus. So we kind of use that as a precursor before the launch. And Bill, our main focus inside prisons as far as discipleship goes falls back on teaching them about marriage and parenting.
Okay.
How to be that husband God's called you to be and how to be that dad that God's called you to be.
Mm, love it.
And that's what we focus on. And so what we do is we utilize Marriage Today and Pastor Jimmy Evans's information on, and we use his curriculum called Marriage on the Rock. And we go in and take those guys through a 10-week course on marriage, just like you would do out here in the world. We're doing that inside. And then at the end of that, we do an XO marriage conference, which is what Jimmy Evans and his Marriage Today group does out here on the outside. So we take those videos and do that inside. And here in Texas, we are actually allowed to bring the spouses in for the day to take part in that marriage conference together.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes. So now we've spent basically 3 months with the offender working with him on becoming, you know, that husband. And now we get to bring his wife in and work with them together. And that discipleship process has just been amazing,
mm-hmm.
just to watch how families are reconciling and coming together.
Yeah. Stephen, talk about just how it feels for the inmates to experience people coming in that just want to be with them. It's mind-blowing to them, mm-hmm. isn't it?
It really is. You know, so many of them have had people that have come in and out of their lives, you know, a lot of false promises and just people moving in and out. So to have the consistency for somebody to come every week and just love on them has just been amazing to them, to see how the church is really coming outside the four walls of the church and becoming the hands and feet of Jesus and coming and loving somebody that's in their type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Matthew 25, you know, Jesus talked about when we go when you go to see somebody in prison, you know, you're doing it unto me too. And that's really just the premise we're taking, is going on there and just loving on those guys any way we know how.
Yeah, because when they hear...
We're taking a variety of things in, so...
Yeah, Stephen, when they hear the words like loving father, that sometimes goes right over their head because their father wasn't around, it wasn't loving, maybe their fathers were even abusive. So you want to try to build a bridge to a loving heavenly father, and that does not happen overnight.
You're exactly right. They've had so many men in and out of their lives, and nobody committed to them. It's amazing just to watch them and learn. You know, that's why we started doing marriage and parenting in the first place, Bill, was because these guys were coming to us saying, you know, I want to be that dad and that husband that God's called me to be, but I've never seen it modeled. I don't know how to do it, and I need somebody to teach me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we did. We just took it up and said, okay, we will come in and love on you guys and try to show you how to become that man God's called you to be.
Mm-hmm. All right. Pastor Stephen Wilson is my guest. We're talking about Gateway Church's newest campus, which is in Cofield, which is a maximum security prison. And we're just sharing our hearts for reaching the incarcerated people. I have a great heart for that. I've been involved in prison ministry for years, and Gateway is getting real serious about planting churches inside prisons. Very exciting. I'm going to take a break, and when we come back, lots more with Stephen in just a minute. Being joined on our studio line by Pastor Stephen Wilson. He is the Gateway's newest campus. It's in Cofield. It's just a maximum security prison, and he's the pastor. And we are just so excited about the progress that's being made. So, Stephen, when you gather on Wednesday night and have a service, how much time do you get with the men?
Here in Texas, we are given two-hour time slots.
Okay.
To come in and do programming like that. So our normal Gateway service, you know, lasts about an hour and 5 or 1 hour and 10 minutes. So that gives us time beforehand and afterwards to fellowship and just spend time building relationships with those men inside. And so we go in, bring the guys in, and it's a normal Gateway type setup. What is so unique about us doing church inside is we're actually training those men to become leaders in their churches when they are released. So what I mean by that is we are going in and training them to be greeters, to be ushers, to be altar ministry, mm-hmm. how to run sound and live production, how to do worship.
Awesome.
And we're letting those men take part in all of those things. And so we're taking our Gateway training materials inside and training those men just like we would if they were out here in the world with us.
So,
Bill, we really want to bridge that gap between the prison and the church. So when guys are released, they already have the skills. They know what's going on. They understand our worship music and how the service flows, you know, and they can step right out and be a leader in their communities.
So do the inmates lead worship?
Yes, they do. And actually right now, when we first go in and start a campus, which Cofield's our first one, but when we go in, we are letting them watch Gateway worship during the services currently. But we have worship team members from our church that are going down on a weekly basis and working with the worship team inside the prison to teach them how to do worship Gateway's way.
Mm-hmm.
And the worship leaders there inside the prison are just amazed by just our worship leaders that give up time to come down there and just love on them, to help them with their skills, and just teach them how to bring people into the presence of God into worship.
Mm-hmm. Stephen, talk about what's going on at your church with volunteers, and are there people excited about going in, reluctant, or the ones that are reluctant are now completely excited, which is, I would imagine, the case.
Yes, exactly. They're completely excited.
Yeah.
Right now, we are actually in the process of doing, you know, interest meetings at each one of our campuses and capturing those volunteers. And the electricity around here and just the excitement, I love to watch on the people's faces. Because, you know, there's always that stigma or that fear about going into prison, especially the maximum security prison. But when we showed Pastor Roberts' video that showed the men inside the prison, and they saw these men are just people like us. You know, they look just like anybody else here around Gateway. And
they totally
do. They're having church. Yeah, they said it just makes them excited and feels very comfortable for them to make that transition to go in and serve inside the prison.
Yeah, and my experience doing prison ministry, you always, everywhere you go, you meet someone in the prison, and your thought is, what in the world are you doing here?
You're exactly right. We hear those stories all the time, and that's what our members have been saying now that they've been coming and serving inside Cofield. They're like, wow, why is that guy in there? Why he's in there? You know, it could have been any of us that made a mistake and could have been in there.
Yeah. But,
and so they just love going in and being a part of this.
But some of these, obviously, you sin and you fall short and you do something criminal. Of course, you go to prison if convicted. But there's so many bright, godly, articulate, polite, and you're just so encouraged that they are going to get out and make a difference. And the fact that they're getting training and discipleship and encouragement and weekly love, you are just hitting all the marks.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's a privilege to go in and serve those men and work with them. Just when you step inside of prison, like you said earlier, and you just see their hearts and just how they're just so hungry for the Word of God and for people to come in and build those relationships and work with them. It just makes you want to go back all the time and do everything you can to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. And, Bill, we're also creating stuff here on the outside at our church for these men when they get released. So we're creating small groups here at our church for the families of offenders and for offenders when they get out.
Mm-hmm.
So we have small groups now at our churches that for moms whose sons are incarcerated or for wives who have spouses incarcerated, things like that. And it's just creating a brand new atmosphere around here of outreach. I just love watching it.
Yeah. Stephen, are you guys setting up at your church recovery group meetings, Celebrate Recovery, something where, you know, they can go to regular meetings in the church and have, you know, opportunities to be in that environment as well?
Currently, we do not have any, but we are moving towards that. Yes. Those are some very good programs, and sometimes parole here in Texas requires offenders to take part in programs like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to implement those type of things inside our congregation through small groups where they can come and be a part of it once released. Right now, we're plugging them into just a regular men's small group. So now they're surrounded by multiple men that can just pour into their lives and just help them upon release, just getting back into society.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that in prison, the reward system is a very big deal. When you come in as a church, is there a reward for good behavior that you can get elevated to a position of usher or get a job at the church, you know, working sound or video? How does that work?
Right now, what we're doing is we're opening it up to the residents or the offenders inside. And myself and the chaplain go through those lists of guys that want to serve, you know, and check their records and make sure they've been behaving, you know, inside prison, and just kind of interviewing them and looking at those type of things. Just basically a process, just like we do here at our own church.
Sure.
Somebody wants to be a leader here at Gateway. We're trying to take them through that same process.
Yeah. Stephen, have there been some, I know there's been great stories of conversion, but can you name one or two or share with us a couple of stories quickly about maybe a man who comes in who says, you know, he is from a different faith, maybe he's a Muslim, and he confronts, he comes and gets an invitation to receive Christ and understands who Jesus is and changes his heart.
Yes, I can tell you this, Bill, since we launched back in November so far, we have had 597 men accept Christ at Cofield. So we are pushing the 600 mark of guys that have accepted Christ for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been amazing just watching the altars be filled every day with those top things. But a quick story, a couple of weeks ago, we actually had a young lady show up at one of our campuses, and she was just looking for one of the pastors, and they connected her with one of our pastors, and she said, "Did you go to prison this week?" And he said, "No, I didn't, but our church was there. You know, what's going on?" And she said, "I just left visitation with my husband down at Cofield. and he could not stop talking about Gateway Church and what's going on in his unit and the revival that's happening. She said, he told me as soon as I leave the prison right now to go straight to a Gateway Church and go to church there tonight.
That's fantastic.
A part of what's going on there. Yes. So, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I love what you're doing, and I love that your church family is so enthusiastic. God bless you and your efforts, and I want to hear more about this down the road, and I want to hear about the next church plant, because this is a huge opportunity to make such a big difference in the lives of so many who are incarcerated.
Yes, it is. Thank you for having me. And if you saw the video, you know Pastor Robert announced we're going to do 10 of these in the next 2 years, so we're pretty busy around here. Just trying to take the word of God behind the walls and just love on those residents inside.
It's time, energy, and resources well spent. Thank you very much, Stephen.
Thank you.
Yep. Pastor Stephen Wilson has been my guest from Gateway Church. We'll take a little break and be back with more in just a minute.
Connecting your faith to your everyday life.
There's nothing I don't appreciate about it. I started listening to the Faith Radio almost exclusively a few years ago because I just love the teaching. Just the truth of God's Word. Everything is just so sweet to listen to.
The teachings is just really motivates you and keeps you coming back for more.
We're growing together.
On Faith Radio.
Thanks for being part of the family of Faith Radio.
Well, it's been around a long time, and it's been fairly constant, and I like that they're fairly even, not way out there, so that's what I like about it.
I have been active with BSF for a while, and that's what turned me on to your radio station, so it's been about 12 or 13 years, and it's been wonderful.
The teaching is amazing. I've supported the station for probably 35 years.
It's encouragement and hope for your daily journey. Faith Radio.
All right, that wraps up our show. Thank you for listening today and all week. Thank you to Pastor Stephen Wilson. What a great ministry he has. And what a great novel idea that the church says, we want to plant a church inside prison. How cool is that? Dr. Alex McFarland is always a friend and a favorite of the show. Dr. David Hawkins, what incredible insight. And Jeff Gould, how interesting. Thank you so much to all my guests for making today so great and so uplifting. And also, I just want to say, if you have not made plans to come out to the 70th anniversary event, that's coming up March 16th at 7 p.m., one night only, at the Knight Performance Hall in the University of Northwestern. Myself, Bob Stromberg, and Michael Pierce Donnelly will give you an evening of riotous fun. You will feel lots of endorphins surging through your body as you laugh and laugh hard. That's going to be great. And we're going to be celebrating the 70th anniversary of Faith Radio. But what's not fantastic about that? As I think about the weekend, and I hope you get rest, and I hope you find lots of time to enjoy and spend time with the Lord. I like 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, that says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So I pray that you have a great weekend, and I pray that you stay safe. And I will see you on Monday as you lay your head on the pillow tonight. Just remember, God's writing His fantastic story in your life. See you Monday. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.